Hello, listeners. Welcome to Are You Convinced? The show where each week we take some sort of overarching theme and discuss an idea or theory related to that topic. With me, as always, is Damon.
Now, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That one was good.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, mate.
Excellent.
We practice that intro a couple of times.
We do every week.
Like, let's ruin the magic of podcasting. That you've said it so many times, the hardest bit about doing this is getting up in the morning. No, it's the intro.
Convincing myself that he's just going to be here for an hour or two. You're going to record the podcast and he'll go home.
He'll take all of his stuff with him. He's not going to offer to stay the night. He's going home.
Aww. I think, you know, that I don't do this podcast begrudgingly, except this week.
Oh, yeah. Did not want to do any of this.
Segway. I said Segway, but I meant Segway.
That's when you go down to Subway on your Segway and get yourself a Chico roll.
They don't do
Chico Rolls. They should.
I've just completely changed my opinion of Subway.
James, what are we doing this week?
So this week, very special episode, we're doing a begrudging convince. So if you tuned in last week, we drew out of a hat the name of an artist or band because the idea is that we don't get to choose what we're pitching this week. We're begrudgingly trying to convince each other on a polarizing musician. And Damon was fortunate enough to pull out of the hat Nickelback.
Look at this photograph!
And my draw was a little bit less harsh. I got the Jonas Brothers. So that's what we're going to be trying to convince each other on this week. But look, before we get into that, there are so many artists out there that are just like, well, polarizing. They're just split audiences. Divide them in opinion. People hate them, but they're popular. There's got to be some interest there. So I guess that's really a big question. What is it about these artists that people hate? Is it a lack of talent, or is it public perception? You know, take for example Justin Bieber. I mean, you can't deny that he can sing. He is talented. He's just a douche. So there's not a lack of talent.
No.
There is a public perception issue here.
Yeah.
And I guess when he first started, so as I understand it, he grew up in Canada and he put videos, or his mum put videos of him singing on YouTube.
Wow.
And that's how he got discovered. He signed with the record company and he sort of had this poppy sound that just drove all the tween girls of the world crazy. And that he grew up in this fame, this lifestyle, and I think that went straight to his head. Yeah. But a lot of his more recent music, he's collaborated, or he's like Ed Sheeran wrote at least one song. I think he wrote a few songs for Justin Bieber, and they were very well received. And
that one where he's basically singing about "I'm sorry, I was such a turd"?
Probably "Sorry."
Sorry, yeah.
And there's I'm pretty sure the one that Ed Sheeran wrote is "Love Yourself." Where it's,
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah, you can go and love yourself.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much.
It's well,
a nice way to tell
is
them
that,
to...
Hang on. Is that, does it mean what I think it means?
Yeah, it means, like, get lost, like, to F word, you know.
Right, yeah, okay.
But Ed Sheeran wrote that song, I'm pretty sure, and that was, like, in crazy levels of popular.
Do you think Ed Sheeran wrote that song with that title and gave it to Bieber? And then before he knew it, it was in the charts, and he's going, "Oh no, he didn't get it. He didn't get the message."
It was a phone call. Justin Bieber calls up Ed Sheeran. "Ed Sheeran, can you write me a song?" "Oh, freaking Bieber, I'll write you a freaking song. Here you go. You can go and love yourself, Bieber."
"Oh, great title, Ed." "Oh no, I'm too far deep now." And then before he knows it, he's just, Ed Sheeran's back to his bed, which is just a pile of money. And cries himself to sleep at night. I don't know. Actually, I don't mind Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran's all right. Yeah, he's very talented. I wouldn't say he's divisive.
Until he went on Game of Thrones.
But that's divisive actors. So that's
right. That's a whole other week, whole other subject.
Yeah,
Did that annoy you?
I just kind of went, yeah, whatever.
I sort of watched Game of Thrones waiting for the Z-grade celebrity cameo.
Yeah.
Like what band's going to be in this week that no one knows.
Wouldn't it be like if they went like really like did that all the time. You know, one week it's like you two as a a group of horsemen that come riding, you know.
That'd be great. That just what a great Easter egg device.
It, it's just like a Saturday Night Live where every week they bring in a musician or band or whatever. And
now
at the end of the episode, they cover the Game of Thrones theme song.
See, now I'm just thinking about Christopher Walken making a guest appearance in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
That's all I've got in my head. Daenerys, you've got to cross the water.
Now, okay, you brought up Christopher Walken just so you could do an impersonation this week. You've done one every week.
Every week. Now
and you've been like, how do I bring in my Christopher Walken?
What would Christopher Walken fronting Nickelback sound like? I went, look at this photograph. Every time I do it, it makes me laugh. Actually, it's getting worse now. Nickelback is tainting Christopher Walken.
Needs more cowbell.
Shall we... I love that sketch. Should we start talking about the other names that were in the hat? Like, can I throw a few at you?
Well, I'm interested. So this is one that's probably, I guess, a little bit divisive amongst us. The first one here on our list. Coldplay.
No, it's not divisive. I hate them. It's very simple. They're crap. They're derivative. They've ripped off other people's songs. It's been proven that Viva La, whatever it is, Viva La Vida Loco, whatever that song is. They were sued for that. That flat out ripped off of another. They ripped off Joe Satriani's Beautiful Dream, I think the song was called.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're just flogs. They are the most vanilla, middle of the road, appeal to the most number of people without challenging any one band that's ever existed, and they're rich for it.
Okay, well, no, fair enough. Right,
Fight me.
I'm just going to say, like, I won't change the channel if they're, like, I wouldn't buy their album, but if they're on the radio, I'm not changing the station.
Oh, speaking of, what's that? So Coldplay did a collaboration very recently with another artist that people don't
like. If it's what I think, it's a song that kind of annoys me a little bit.
Sure.
Probably.
Well, because
funny. One of the only songs that I probably will change the radio.
Well, my girlfriend has had a mission to not listen to that song.
Okay.
And it's hysterical. I don't know how she manages this because... if she's not heard the song, I don't know how she knows it's their song.
Yeah.
But if we're in the car and the radio's on and they go, this is Coldplay with blah, 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 she'll change the station immediately. She's don't want to hear it.
Not doing
it. I go, wow, you're not even going to... like, I would at least give it a go, even though I hate Coldplay.
Yeah.
Because maybe that's the song that turns it all around, because I'm a hopeless optimist.
Next week, you're in the car with your Coldplay shirt.
That's right. I'm a total convert. Chris Martin's my dude. Yeah, no, don't like them.
I actually want to get you a shirt that says Chris Martin's my dude.
No, I would not wear it. I don't want to be. What about Chris Brown? Right?
How does an artist do something so awful? Yeah. No denying it. Just terrible. How can they be such a terrible human being?
Human being.
And have it do almost zilch to their career?
Well, speaks a lot about how we view male and female relationships in the public sphere, for one thing. Actually, can I give you... I'll try not to ramble on this, but there's a band that I really like, an Australian band, a punk band called the Rum Jacks.
Okay.
And a little while ago, they were protested and picketed at their shows because it emerged that their lead singer had once been arrested and convicted of spousal abuse.
Okay, wow. Okay.
So people flat out said, nah, we're not only are we not going to go to your shows... but we're going to encourage everyone else not to because you're a wife beater.
Yeah.
So the band released a statement, a really passionate statement talking about how, look, yeah, you know, we've never hidden from this. He did that. He really did. Since then, he's done time. Like he's been inside. He's done all the community service he needs to. He has not only reoffended, he's stuck to every court order to not make contact with his previous partner. She's not made contact with him. They're both living happy and separate lives. He has donated huge amounts of money out of his own pocket to White Ribbon Day campaigns and things like that.
Yep.
And it sort of started the argument about, well, how much do we punish that one guy? Now, this guy who's just an amateur Australian, not amateur, sorry, but, you know, Australian punk band muso, and people are not going to their gigs, yet Chris Brown has now got a show on Netflix.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, like, I feel like... I feel like one has been punished.
Yes.
Like proper punished.
And actually seems to feel bad and seems to have tried to pay their dues.
Exactly.
He'll
never redeem what he did.
Yeah.
But he can certainly work towards it. And I quite respect that. I don't know that I forgive the action. I can't.
Oh, no.
But I respect him for trying to make it better every day. I don't know. I don't know. Has anyone seen that sort of contrition with Chris Brown?
I think he was forced to do community service. That was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago now.
Maybe
I think
even
it was
longer,
a while ago.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I don't know that he really cared. And
yeah, I don't know. I mean, you love Rhiannon as well. Let's not. You've got a horse in this race.
I've kind of. She's changed.
Oh, really? Damage.
She's changed.
Hang on. Has she changed or have you changed?
Maybe we've both changed. We've both grown up.
Grown apart.
Yeah. No, just her music style has shifted and it's just
right.
Not really my thing. And
right. But Umbrella, Ella, was your thing, was
that
it?
Was my thing. I'm sorry. I'm not.
That's your jam.
I'm not going to deny it. I don't care that you're looking at me like I'm ridiculous. I will always crank Umbrella.
Speaking of ridiculous, you're wearing a U2 360 shirt.
You can't tell me U2 is ridiculous.
No, they're not. I saw them at that concert.
Yeah.
No. How do an atomic bomb get
dismantled? How to dismantle? Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I went to that concert.
Okay, the one before.
Which is pretty cool. 80,000 people, I think, were there.
They're
in Adelaide.
Incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, all of Adelaide were there.
Yeah.
I think our economy dropped that night.
Nobody was there. They were all... At yeah. U2. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next day, no one went to work, you know. U2, I think more specifically Bono, is not liked.
Okay.
But I think that comes down to his activism. Like, I think he's seen as a less likable Bob Geldof.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, people just want him to be a singer. They don't want him to be spruiking AIDS research for some reason.
See, now, I don't agree with this. I see this quite often, that celebrities will... You know, they'll share their thoughts and opinions on current events and political issues and whatnot.
Mm.
And Facebook is just often a terrible place for everybody to spout their opinion, even when they're just wrong.
You mean like we are right now?
No. Anytime you see...
That doesn't count.
You see celebrities come out and say their thoughts or opinions on any sort of issue...
Mm.
People will post on Facebook, reply to the news post and just be like, oh, just shut up and just play music. That's all you're good for. It's like, well, no. They've worked really hard to get, in most cases, they've worked really hard to get to where they are.
Some of them work hard.
They've worked hard to get to where they are. They are in a position where they have an audience, where they can vocalize thoughts and talk about important issues. And I think they should exercise that right, fine. For sure.
Yeah. I'd be doing it.
Yeah.
If anyone listened to anything I say, of course I'd be talking about things that are important to
them. Exactly.
The sports stars get the same sort of treatment.
Yep.
In America right now, the whole kneeling during the anthem thing, people are actually saying sports is just entertainment. Don't bring politics into this. And they're going, this isn't politics. This is about police brutality. Yep. This is actually about our day-to-day lives.
Yep. And so they have a platform and they certainly should be allowed to use it. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, God, you can't divorce... everything in your life. I mean, people just want pure escapism, I think, is the issue. And they don't want to be reminded of the real world when they're being entertained.
But, the game takes place between the sirens and you watch the game.
True,
turn off after that.
And then those players have to go and live their lives as black men in America, which mustn't be very fun. And then they want to use their status to... And Bono... Good on him. If he's raised a single dollar for AIDS research or for building a well in Africa, good on him. He's done good in the world.
Yeah.
No dramas.
So a few of the names I've got written down here, they sort of have a little bit in common with the Jonas Brothers, who I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus, One Direction, they're kind of musicians pumped out of a machine to be entertaining.
Well, One Direction came second on a game show.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think I've talked to you about this in the past, but I have a very strong aversion to The Voice, American Idol, Australian Idol, all those shows. I hate them with a passion.
And it's understandable. You'd probably be familiar with that post by Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Where he talks about how that's just crap. He just wants people that are passionate about music to go play in their guitar.
Yes.
Play in their garage.
You know when you get an acoustic guitar and like there's that hole that seems designed for holding your picks? You're constantly dropping your plectrum in there.
Just get in
there. Crawl into that space and suck at music for a while.
Yeah.
But his thing is also, he can't stand the idea of a talentless hack judging young talented people. The idea of a Simon Cowell telling a young person who musters up all of their courage to get up and sing for their big break... This idea of this Simon Cowell bloke saying, no, you can't do this or we need more sex appeal or whatever. He says, how many great careers die then?
Yeah.
You know, or how many crap careers die then and how many great nights playing music have never happened. Do you know? Yeah. I've played music live before. I've played in pubs and I've played and solo and I've played with other people. And it's I've never made a cent from it, but I loved every second of it. Yeah. So I hate the idea of these dreams dying like that on these shows.
I had never really thought about it like that. But you're right. If you were told by somebody in that sort of position that you were rubbish, you'd go, I'm rubbish.
Yeah.
You're going to go home and you're probably... I mean, you might get back into it, but there's... you're right.
It's
there's
in the back of your mind the whole time.
You're just going to go, oh, well, I should just give up on this. It's not...
Meanwhile, One Direction came second. They get a record deal. They get their songs written for them. They get pumped out. Yes. Like you say, it does feel machine-built, doesn't it?
So, despite the game, despite the circumstances...
Mm.
They were talented. They were successful in this program, and they got pumped through a machine. And I think that that's part of the public perception issue.
Mm.
But does that mean they're not talented? Does that mean they're not?
No, it doesn't. But does it mean that we respect them anymore as artists?
Does it mean we shouldn't?
Hmm. It's an interesting question. Yeah. It is. I haven't got the answer. Well, I do. It's no. do you know? I've got a weird sort of respect for Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
I do. I look at her in the same way I look at Kesha and Lady Gaga. I think they've worked out the game.
And what's the game, Damon?
The game is raw sex appeal, marketability, and pop hooks. And I think that's exactly what those three artists pump out constantly. Not so much Kesha recently because she's had the legal battle with that scumbag who should never work with a female ever again for as long as he lives. But like Miley Cyrus... Everyone's all like, oh, she's the Disney princess and now she's riding around nude on a wrecking ball and licking hammers. Yeah, she's figured out what makes money. She's figured out how to be successful in the industry. I think Lady Gaga is almost subverting the industry when she rocks up an award ceremony wearing nothing but meat.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's a statement.
Yeah.
She's figured us all out. And I've got a weird sort of admiration for that.
Okay, yeah.
Mm. The music sucks.
Speaking of music that sucks, it is our subject this week overall.
Don't make me.
But
please don't make me do this.
Can you begrudgingly
convince
me about Nickelback?
Mm. I'm going to try to. I'm going to have to convince myself. Do you know what sucks? Right before I recorded this, I was actually really proud of my argument. And I'm like, I'm going to convince you this week.
Do it.
All right, I'm doing
it. Rock out, man. Right. Just turn it up to 11.
Okay. All right, let's run at this. Nickelback are actually great.
I hope you brought more.
I didn't. No. Okay. Well, apparently they are, at least according to the rest of the music industry, that is. Chris Martin from Coldplay is a devoted fan. Shut up. Stop. This isn't easy anyway.
You ruined it because earlier you spoke ill of Chris Martin.
Stop it. Stop. I'm trying my best.
This is going to be the best the episode where we struggle to keep a straight face.
I don't like my chances. Chris Martin from Coldplay is a devoted fan, and he's popular. They've worked with legends of the industry, including Dimebag Darrell, the deceased Pantera frontman.
Dimebag Darrell, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's his name. So Dimebag Darrell has worked with them. Jerry Cantrell, formerly of Alice in Chains, has worked with them, played live with them before. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty big. One of their worst songs, in my opinion. But anyway, he's worked with them, so he finds them okay. I guess what I'm going to argue with, actually...
Are Nickelback okay? We've dialed it back.
No, what I'm going to argue is that we've got to at least respect them. I'm going to argue for a bit of respectability with Nickelback. Okay. That's the whole platform here. You don't have to like their music, but... I'm going to convince you to respect them as artists and as people. I should have said that right at the beginning, but the rest of the music industry seems to respect and like them. They've got some fans within it. They've also won several awards that we have not won. So, you know, they're up on us. They've won 2 American Music Awards. They've won 6 Billboard Music Awards, 12 Juno Awards, 7 Much Music Video Awards. I swear I didn't make that up. I don't know what a Much Music Video Award is. And they've won a total of 0 Grammys, which is 0 more than we've won, James.
Well, I could win some of those things. I just choose not to.
I bet you couldn't win this next one. They've won 5 SOCAN Awards.
I don't know what a SOCAN Award is.
Neither did I, so I had to Google it. I pushed the little blue link on Wikipedia for this one. Society of Composers, Authors, and Music Publishers of Canada.
Okay, so yeah. I'm immediately ruled out for not being Canadian?
No, even worse than that, you're part American, so they would absolutely, they wouldn't even let you in the building.
Okay.
I don't think. Actually, no, they would, because Canadians are the nicest people on the planet. Yeah. On top of that, most of their B-sides are actually pretty okay. Most of what we hear from them involves a yowling blonde Canadian asking what would happen if everyone cared and nobody died, and telling everyone to look at this photograph in a needlessly aggressive manner. But if you listen past those tracks and get to about song 3 or 4, you'll actually find some pretty decent rock riffs and heavy themes. Their rock songs are designed to be sung loudly in an arena and actually draw from their influences, which are mostly thrash metal bands like Metallica and Slayer and Motley Crue. Unfortunately, someone told them, Chad Kroeger, that a power ballad was the way to get to pop gold throughout the noughties. So most of the best rock stuff is completely forgotten about. Seriously, I watched a Watch Mojo video called Top 10 Nickelback Songs. I swear it was the same song played over and over again, just with different backgrounds.
Okay.
Just on repeat. But looking aside from their music...
Really confused by your approach here.
Hear me out. So if we take away from their music, some of it isn't that bad, by the way. Some of it's kind of rocky and fun and arena rock. Nickelback are actually really cool people. Like the individual members of the band.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Please stop looking at me like that. This is... He's pulling faces at me. He doesn't want me to succeed. In 2007, they donated 100% of their profits from single sales of their song, If Everyone Cared, to Amnesty International.
How many cents is that?
Shut up. That's,
did
yeah,
they crack
but
a dollar?
But that's because
it's 100%.
Jesus, this is not going well.
It's fantastic. This is why people are going to tune into the begrudging episodes. I've already decided we're doing this again.
Oh, no, it's so hard. Okay, so they donated 100% of the profits from the single sales of If Everyone Cared to Amnesty International. All right, cool. Cool move. They front causes like the Obaki Foundation, which was started by one of the guitarist's wives, Triana Peake, which helps out African villages with clean water and food, and Stamp Out Bullying, which is a program designed to help out Nickelback fans.
Well.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out.
Fantastic.
I had to slip that in there. No, it's a really good cause. I think Pink is involved in that as well. They're okay, all yeah, about stamping out schoolyard bullying.
Just specifically Nickelback schoolyard bullying or...
Nickelback related incidents.
It's all schoolyard bullying.
All schoolyard bullying.
Just to correct that, okay. Yeah.
So the real reason we should respect them though is that they know exactly what they are. And it's evident in the way Chad Kroeger has approached writing his songs. So during my research, I found out that when he wrote How You Remind Me, you know, the first big song that launched them, he actually wrote that by listening to hours and hours and hours of FM radio and just listening for the pop hooks, listening for lyrics and themes that people seem to enjoy, and then sat down and penned. I think he had the words. He just needed to make it catchy.
Okay.
And that was their big break. He designed that song. Like that's... Say what you want, that's a fair bit of talent to make it that mass appealing. He then married his band's blend of post-grunge thrash metal with pop hooks and sensibilities and created one of the best rock, in inverted commas, hits in decades. The B-tracks I mentioned are also heavily influenced, also heavily referenced, drinking and partying, but in a fun, let's all have a good time kind of way. He designs his music to be immediately accessible. These songs are really fun when they're heard live with massive fireworks and flames and explosions going off.
America!
America, yeah! Even though, no, well, actually, Canada! Thanks for coming! No, seriously, thanks for coming. You're all really nice people. This is so hard. They have also got a real sense of humor about themselves and their status as hated pariahs.
Okay.
They totally get it. And the best example of Nickelback being all-time good guys is a Funny or Die video starring the band having a crisis meeting with their producer. I don't know if you've seen this video at all. Okay, so the band is responding to the real-life internet petition to have them removed as the halftime entertainment at a Detroit Lions game. Now, the Detroit Lions are no good.
Okay.
Okay? Fans decided that having Nickelback perform at halftime maybe didn't fit with that. Maybe they went, no, Nickelback's too good to be performing at a Detroit Lions game. Yeah, it was the opposite. It was actually the complete opposite. But anyway, so in this video, the band are lectured by an overly made up music producer who refers to Chad Kroeger as guy from Nickelback. And he asks seriously why everyone hates them. Suggestions such as a new strain of sexually transmitted disease, maybe kicking Macklemore in the balls, and even the suggestion that they are all goat effers, to which an actual real-life Chad Kroeger responds, "No, no, we make love to goats." a rule put forward is suggestions. One of the band members suggests that they support themselves. Nickelback, featuring Nickelback. To which the bassist replies, "But doesn't everyone hate Nickelback?" The video ends in the band agreeing to dress as Detroit's greatest exports. So the last shot of the video is one of them dressed as Alice Cooper, another as Tom Selleck, Chad Kroeger dressed as RoboCop, and the fourth dressed as someone called Dave Coulier, who I've never heard of.
Yeah, so
sort of fell flat with me. But it vindicates the band, I think. I think it shows that they're fully aware of what they are, what they're doing. They're unapologetic about it because they're good at it. And frankly, the number of awards they won sort of speaks for themselves. And the fact that they still sell out and pack out big shows. You know, they might have filled up the entertainment center here in Adelaide, and I might have been there as a very young man to see them do it.
Yeah. Really, Damon?
Really.
Please tell me more.
You know this story.
Tell me more.
So, okay, when I was much, much younger, my stepdad and I went down to the entertainment center. We didn't have tickets, but we knew that a local radio station was going to be broadcasting from outside. And we thought, well, if we go down there, there might be a chance they're giving out tickets, or maybe there'll be a competition or something.
Okay, yep.
And there was a competition. You remember the lyrics? The lyrics of that oh-so-great Nickelback song, "I Like Your Pants Around Your Feet"?
It was sort of
"I Like Your Pants Around Your Feet."
Well, yeah. That was in the title. Thank you.
Right? Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Musical geniuses. The radio station had laid out a race course at the front of the entertainment center, and we had to run the race with our pants around our ankles.
Okay.
So yeah, I did that to win tickets to see Nickelback play.
And you won.
No, we came second.
Okay.
But there was actually a great big pile up at the end. Someone stacked it and dragged the rest of us down with them. It was a great big Stephen Bradbury situation. And my stepdad actually threw his hand over the line second.
Okay.
And the guy that won confessed that he already had tickets. He just wanted to join in the race.
Oh.
Where's your head at, man? Like, what are you...
Bought tickets and then competed.
I really
to get
to
more,
get
tickets.
More tickets.
I you just can't go to Nickelback twice, man. Who would?
God. He just really wanted to take his pants down, I think.
Fair enough.
So my stepdad grabbed the radio guy and said, "Yeah, we were second. We should get the tickets." And they agreed, and we got the tickets, and we sat and full credit, the show was actually really great.
Okay.
And I say that unironically. They put on a huge stage show. I'm talking, you know, them getting lifted up in cranes over the audience, you know, rising towers and stuff. Huge fireworks. We could feel the heat from all the way in the nosebleeds where we were sitting. Big confetti guns. It's just fun.
Yep.
You know, they're a great big fun, good time act. They know that that's what they are. They don't take themselves seriously. This is their full-time job. James, have I convinced you that we should at least respect Nickelback?
You're right. I'm not gonna be listening to Nickelback, but they know, like you said, they know what they are, and it sounds like they have a sense of humor about it, so that's good. So they know what they are. They're clearly talented.
Stop stalling and say the magic word. Have I convinced you?
To respect
Nickelback. Have I convinced you to
speak? I don't know if respect is the word. That's the trouble.
Oh, James.
They know what they are and they're good at it. That's what I'll give you.
Do you know how hard this was for me to research?
Very.
Because since I went to that show when I was a young man and I've grown up and wrote my own songs and played music and listened to good music, I now appreciate that they're garbage. And I wrote in support of utter garbage. I'm not giving up until I hear yes from you.
Whatever.
That'll do. A begrudging yes in the begrudging podcast episode. I'll take it. All right, good. I'm leaving.
That's it? No, wait.
No, I'm done. I'm out of here.
I've got to educate you now.
Fine, I'll come back.
I've learned things. this week, and I'm going to impart that knowledge upon you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because neither of us were very, very knowledgeable about the Jonas Brothers. And we're going to leave here very, very knowledgeable about the Jonas Brothers together. Actually, I'm a little bit worried that this whole thing is going to read a little bit like an episode of This Is Your Life, or like a really long-winded one of those Who Am I questions you get at quiz nights.
Do you want to pretend I'm one of the Jonas Brothers and you're doing that for me?
No,
you know,
it's okay.
Tommy Jonas, what I'm assuming you know their names.
So
This Is Your Life.
The Jonas Brothers, they are brothers.
They really are brothers.
Yeah, they're brothers.
Okay, all right.
And they're formed in 1989 with the birth of the second brother. Before that, it was just an only child. They were later joined. I'm going to leave that whole laugh in there. They were later joined. I'm going to keep pushing on.
Yeah, push on.
Later joined by a third brother in 1992.
What? Because he was born? And
yeah, because he was born. Right. Yeah. In 1992.
I just thought maybe they met him at an event.
So the eldest brother is Paul Kevin Jonas II.
Too many names.
Better known as Kevin Jonas. So he immediately went, no, that's too many names.
Streamlined it.
Joseph Adam Jonas, the middle brother.
Too many names.
Born in 1989. He's better known as Joe Jonas, which is just,
no, not
that's
better.
Just cruel. Like,
not better.
The only way it could have been more ridiculous is if he was named Jonah. Jonah Jonas would have been the only worse thing than Joe Jonas.
What's that Simpsons character where he's like, no, I'm...
Joe Shabadoo.
That's the worst name I've ever heard. Hey, Joey Jojo.
And the youngest brother is Nicholas Jerry Jonas.
No, too many names.
Better known as Nick. So,
wait, what? But that's not even his first name.
Nicholas.
Oh, was that his first name?
Nicholas Jerry
Jonas.
Oh,
I got that around the wrong way. Still terrible name.
He's often the one that's credited with actually getting the band rolling. So you've got Kevin, Joe, and Nick Jonas.
I would have thought that'd be the eldest.
Yeah, no, not in this case.
No, because he arrived first.
Yeah.
He started the whole process.
Well, The band roller.
I tried to make a funny joke then.
You failed. So,
all right, I am leaving.
So Nick Jonas is the youngest brother in the band.
Okay.
But they do have a younger brother named Frankie Jonas.
Why isn't he in?
He was born in 2000.
Oh,
and due to not being part of the band, he's sometimes referred to as Bonus Jonas.
What's his name? Frankie.
Frankie. But we're not focusing on Frankie. We are focusing on the first three Jonas brothers.
Yeah, get out of here, Frankie.
The brothers were born to Denise and Paul Kevin Jonas Sr. Their mother was a former sign language teacher and singer, and their father, a songwriter, musician, and former ordained minister. So they have a Christian background, and the brothers would have been introduced to music very early on. They grew up in Wyckoff, New Jersey, where they were...
I beg your pardon.
Yes.
I beg your pardon.
So Wyckoff, mate... Wick off, mate. I don't want to listen to Nickelback. Wick off.
Mate, you can wick off and love yourself.
Yeah. Wick off, New Jersey, where they were homeschooled by their mother. Hmm. So, as I mentioned, Nick is the brother who really kicked things off. He was discovered at the age of 6 in a barbershop while his mother was getting a haircut. He began to perform in Broadway from the age of 7, taking on roles such as Tiny Tim in A Christmas Carol and Gavroche in Les Miserables.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In 2002, at the age of 10, Nick was performing as Chip in the Broadway production of Beauty and the Beast.
What did you think of the new movie?
Oh, we can do that another time.
We need time for that, don't we?
We do.
Sorry, go on.
So it was during this time he wrote a song titled Joy to the World, A Christmas Prayer. With the background vocals from his fellow cast members from Beauty and the Beast, this song was featured on compilation album Broadway's Greatest Gifts, Carols for a Cure, Volume 4.
Oh my
so
God.
There had been three volumes of Broadway's Greatest Gifts, Carols for a Cure before
have,
this one.
Have,
but
found,
no,
have
seriously,
they found a cure yet?
At the age of 10, he wrote this song. He's pretty talented.
It's good, yeah. I couldn't write anything at 10.
After hearing the single, Columbia Records signed Nick to release his debut album in 2004. So that's, yeah, pretty impressive.
How old was he then?
So what did I say? 92, so 12. 12, 2004. Wow. Yeah. So Nick co-wrote many of the songs on this album with his brothers, who also provided background vocals. Mm-hmm. The album only received a limited limited release, and while not a critical success, it led to the new president of Columbia Records, Steve Greenberg, signing Nick and his brothers as a group.
I thought you were going to leave it as the new president of Columbia, the country. This is our new favorite band now, all the of Columbia. Every Wednesday will be Jonas Brothers Day. I'm sure Columbia's not like that. Anyway, no. Sorry, go on.
But Columbia Records signed Nick and his brothers as a group. Originally, they sort of toyed with the idea of naming their group Sons of Jonas before finally settling on the name that we know. Thus, the Jonas Brothers were born. Using their ultra superpowers, Kevin, Joseph, and Nicholas have dedicated their lives to fighting crime and the forces of evil.
Have they really?
No.
Oh, okay. Damn. I do like these guys now.
They did start a band. So they're a rock, pop punk. That's the kind of band they are. They officially
pop rocks, pop tops.
Yeah, pop tarts.
Pop tarts.
Officially formed in 2005.
Pringles.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
That's right. Thank you.
While working on their debut album, the group toured with artists such as Kelly Clarkson, Jesse McCartney, and the Backstreet Boys. Now, regardless of how you feel about any of those artists, those are some pretty big names.
I've heard of every one of those.
There you go. So these guys, before they even released their first album as a band, they were touring with some pretty big names.
Yeah.
They even opened for the Veronicas in 2006.
Well, Australia's own
Veronicas.
Where are they now?
Oh, they're still making music.
Are they?
Yeah, they came back.
Oh, they should stop.
So their debut album, It's About Time, was released in August of 2006. I guess they might have been going for people clearly want our music, and it's about time. Here it is. I don't know.
Well done. No, good.
The first album wasn't overly successful for the band. It did have a slight Christian influence to it, and that's actually one market where it was well received, the Christian market.
Okay.
But probably the biggest factor in the lack of success was a lack of support and promotion from the record label. Okay. They didn't really want to promote the band all that much, which seems ridiculous. Why sign them in the first place?
Exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
So the brothers wanted to switch labels, and fortunately for them, Columbia Records dropped the group in early 2007.
Oh, yeah, fortunately. So, hey guys, good news, we've been sacked.
Stupid mistake on Columbia Records' part.
Massively,
They'd be kicking themselves. The band signed with Hollywood Records and continued to gain... Straight away, Hollywood Records just sounds way more prestigious.
Hollywood! Yeah.
They continued to gain popularity through soundtrack songs and promotional appearances while they worked on their next album. Their self-titled album was released in August of 2007. It reached top five on the Billboard 200 in the US.
Really?
Went on to sell over 2 million copies.
Hmm.
Two tracks from the album reached 47 and 46 right here on the RS Singles Chart.
Yeah.
You're familiar with that?
Yeah. Does it?
The Australian Record Industry Association.
Thank you. So we've mentioned the Canadian one, and then the ARIA. So two very obscure music awards.
Not for people that are listening to us here in Australia, which is predominantly our audience.
Which is entirely our audience. Yeah.
In the same month as the album's release, the brothers appeared on an episode of Hannah Montana titled Me and Mr. Jonas. Mr. Jonas and Mr. Jonas.
That's not what it was called.
It was called that. That's three Mr. Jonases. That's
terrible.
With 10.7 million viewers, it was the highest rated episode of Hannah Montana ever. But it also broke records, becoming Basic Cable's most watched telecast ever.
Really?
Yes. So, if you're not familiar with sort of the American landscape of TV,
pretty much
if you want TV, you have to get cable.
Okay.
Like, they don't get free TV like we do.
Oh.
Well,
they consider us communists because we've got free TV and free healthcare.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Okay. Outrageous. Yeah. But yeah, the most watched telecast ever. An episode of Hannah Montana. There you go.
Yeah, okay.
The episode was also the debut of the Jonas Brothers on the Disney Channel, and they went on to star in the smash hit Disney Channel film Camp Rock and their own series titled Jonas, amongst other Disney programs.
Wow, they're blowing up right now.
Yeah, they're going crazy. And this is sort of into that thing I was talking about, the machine, the Disney machine is what they got caught up in.
What did you call it last week that took me by surprise?
House of Mouse.
House of Mouse.
So,
it's so great.
I'm surprised you hadn't heard that before.
No, never had,
The band was nominated for Best New Artist Award at the 51st Grammys in 2008, and at the American Music Awards, they won for Breakthrough Artist. In July of 2008, they became the youngest band to appear on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've had some pretty big accomplishments, really.
Yeah.
Their third album, A Little Bit Longer, was released in August of 2008 and debuted at number one. Debuted at number one on the Billboard 200.
It's starting off pretty high.
It sold 525,000 copies in its first week.
That's 500,000 more albums than I've ever sold.
Yeah. You've sold 25,000?
Oh, no, sorry. Stole. I thought you said stole.
Oh, no, sold. In its first week, it also went on to sell over 2 million copies, marking the band's second multi-platinum album.
Wow.
The album's lead single, Burning Up, was a top five hit for them in the United States.
That's two more platinum selling albums than I've ever had.
Yeah, multi-platinum.
Multi. Well, there you go.
I don't think you're taking this seriously at all.
It's the Jonas Brothers.
These guys are talented, man.
What is your argument that
they're talented?
Pretty
much.
Right, okay.
They're worthy of respect, like you.
Oh, I see.
Like
right. Okay.
Said, yeah. So,
go on. Keep going.
In February of 2009, the band starred in a biopic titled Jonas Brothers: The 3D Concert Experience.
Oh no! Really?
Yeah.
3D.
Yeah.
Ah.
3D Jonas.
Ah, that hurt your argument.
And in June of that year, they released Lines, Vines, and Trying Times, their fourth studio album, and this also debuted at number one on the Billboard 200.
Okay.
Shortly after the release of this album, the boys took a hiatus, with Joe trying his hand at a solo career and all three dabbling in various acting and TV appearances. Mm. Nick started the band Nick Jonas and the Administration and returned to theatre, starring again in Les Miserables, this time as Marius Pontmercy, and Hairspray as Link Larkin, which, if you're not familiar with Hairspray, you might at least be familiar enough with the movie. That's the role that Zac Efron played in the movie.
Nope.
Anyways, carrying on.
I don't even know what a Zac Efron is.
Okay, yeah, you do.
Oh, maybe I do.
He has
lovely eyes.
In 2012, it was announced that the band had parted ways with Hollywood Records, buying the rights to their entire back catalogue from the record label. So they own the rights to their music.
That's actually really clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
They performed a much-anticipated reunion concert in New York City in October of 2012. And in 2013, it was confirmed that the brothers would be reuniting for a fifth studio album, which would be titled 5, Roman numeral the
yep.
V.
Yep, yep, yep.
They announced an upcoming North American tour with tickets going on sale, and two singles were released in the build-up to their new album. However...
I love it. I love it when you lean in.
In late 2013...
Uh-oh.
The tour was cancelled.
Were the Jonas Brothers okay?
With the brothers citing a deep rift within the band over creative differences.
Were they not talking to each other?
Days later... It was announced that the Jonas Brothers had officially ended.
Oh, no! Aww.
But I guess they were civil enough to... They respected their fans and, you know, this is an unfortunate circumstance and sometimes you can't avoid that.
Hey, sometimes brothers hate each other's guts.
So, but they thought we have to do something for our fans. They sent out a live album to their fan club members, which featured 10 live tracks and 6 tracks that would have been on 5. The album was titled Live with the V highlighted to reference their would-be album.
Clever.
Yeah. So what are they up to now? Currently, Kevin, the oldest, hasn't really done a whole lot since the band ended. Nobody cares, Kevin.
He's really good at FIFA now.
Yeah, probably. Nick has had a moderate success with his solo career, though, releasing his second solo album in 2014, titled Nick Jonas, which debuted at number 6. Yeah, so, I mean, they were getting number ones, but number 6 for going off on a solo thing.
Still pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Did you
have a number 6 album on the Billboard?
No. Number 7.
Okay. You didn't quite crack.
They didn't quite crack Nick the magic Jonas number got, 6.
Yeah.
No.
People probably be most familiar, I don't expect you to be, but probably be most familiar with his song Jealous.
Which, I know Jealous.
Yeah, sorry.
I've heard Jealous.
Probably have. I'm not going to sing it.
Maybe. I honestly don't know.
It's his first top 10 hit on the Billboard 100 as a solo artist in Australia. The song went platinum. So, yeah, pretty good. His third album, Last Year Was Complicated, was released in 2016. Last year was complicated, wasn't it?
Oh, so much going on.
So, this album was released in 2016 and debuted at number 2. This one. So not number 6, he's got to number 2 now.
Right, okay.
That's his highest debut as a solo artist
so far.
He's
moving up, he's doing okay, yeah.
To date, Nick has had 3 platinum singles, that's in America, and one of which was double platinum and another, Jealous, went triple platinum.
Nice.
So he's had some pretty good success. He's very talented. This is the youngest. So age of 6, got on, you know, started on Broadway, and age of 10, wrote his first song, and he's kicked the whole thing off. This kid's
This is fire. Where the talent lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, How familiar are you with the band Dance, D-N-C-E?
Not at all.
What about the song Cake by the Ocean? The one that goes, I keep on hoping we'll eat cake by the ocean.
Oh, I do know that one. Yeah, okay, weirdly, yeah.
That's Joe Jonas.
Really?
That's Joe Jonas. He formed the dance rock band in 2015 with his friends Jack Lawless, Ginger Lee, and Cole Whittle.
That song was everywhere at the beginning of this year.
Yeah, they had songs like Cake by the Ocean, Good Day, Truthfully, and unfortunately, one of my most hated songs of 2016 was Toothbrush. But we won't go into
what?
That.
Hey, Toothbrush.
It was called Toothbrush. It was awful. But
write about what you know. Write about what's in your world. Write about what's important to you.
Yeah.
Good oral hygiene was apparently important to them.
Apparently. So Dance released an EP titled Sway. It's AA in late 2015.
Okay.
So I said Sway.
Sway. Yeah. I'm glad you helped me out with that.
Committed.
Commit.
They followed this up with a self-titled album in 2016, which received many favorable reviews from critics. Cake by the Ocean reached number 9 on the Billboard 100 and went triple platinum in the US.
Was it just Cake or was it Cake?
No, it's just single A.
Just Cake. Oh, okay, sorry.
It went double platinum here in Australia. So like you said, it that song was everywhere.
Yeah, it was.
The phrase...
Don't tell me, baby.
See, you know...
Yeah,
so that sounds catchy,
yeah. Cake by the Ocean. I never knew he was saying Cake by the Ocean. I had no idea what the lyric was.
So the phrase Cake by the Ocean actually came about because Swedish producers they were working with kept confusing the phrase Sex on the Beach with Cake by the Ocean. So the band just made a song out of it.
They are two different things.
Well, maybe it's a new innuendo.
Actually, neither of those two things are any good, though, I'll be honest. You get sand in your cake.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You don't want sand in your cake.
You don't want a sandy cake.
Nowhere near your cake.
It's not fun when you put it in your mouth.
No. Dance.
Move on, quickly.
Won Best New Artist at the MTV Music Awards in 2016. So, they also did a cover of Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do With It. This appeared
on an
album titled The Time Is Now, made up of 80s covers by various artists to raise money for AMFAR, the American Foundation for AIDS Research. So it's a good cause.
Okay, all right.
And actually, since I found it on Spotify a few weeks ago, it's been on repeat. Like before I even knew that I was doing Jonas Brothers and before I even knew that Joe Jonas was in Dance, I've been listening to this song on repeat for a month.
So would you say he's reinvented himself?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
I guess that's what this all comes back to. Like I said, that machine, this Disney machine that's pumped them out, I think that's where the disdain comes from.
Yeah.
And I think it's unfair because these boys are men now, really. They're talented.
Mm.
So, real quickly, congratulations are in order. Joe Jonas announced his engagement to the incredibly talented and absolutely gorgeous Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones.
Hey.
Yeah, Joe Jonas is engaged to Sophie Turner just last month.
No.
October 16th, they got engaged. These brothers, they were pumped through the Disney machine, which is probably why the mention of their name is just met with disdain. Like I said, I think that's unfair.
Sure.
These guys are really talented. And, well, I want to know, what do you think? Do you think they're worthy of respect? Could I even convince you to listen to a Jonas Brothers song after the...
No!
After the okay.
No! No.
Are you convinced that these young men are very talented? They've absolutely deserving of success and respect, and that disdain's unwarranted.
Where I say yes is when you mentioned that they've gone on and done other things.
Yeah.
I automatically have huge respect for any artist who's able to go from one thing, one formula that's successful, and go into another formula and make it just as successful.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, time will only tell if Dance is as successful as the Jonas Brothers. Something tells me it won't be.
No, I
mean,
I don't know.
Jonas Brothers broke
it's
records.
It's a different thing. So, I guess you're right. They did. They were what they were was just a teen sort of like
lightning in a bottle. It sounds like it sounds like they arrived just at the right time. They were the right age.
Yeah.
They were on the right shows, and they killed it. Yeah. But they haven't rested on that. There's one burning question that I've had right from the get-go, though.
Okay.
What happened to Frankie?
I don't know. He went to Hollywood.
Yes!
You know what? I had a few extra notes. Look, my heading here says bonus round if Damon says no.
Extra notes. Let's edit this.
No. It's okay. You said yes, so I'm taking that. Oh. But these are just so good. I just had to share them. Like, I was just going to go, okay, since you said no anyway,
okay,
I'm going to throw these out there.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, okay.
In regards to growing up in a Christian family, Joe Jonas said in a 2013 interview with New York Magazine, "I believe in God, and that's a personal relationship that I have, but I'm not religious in any way." What does that mean,
What does it
Joe?
Even mean,
that's
Joe?
That's not how it works.
That's not... Joe!
Joe, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Joe? That's... And, I get what he means, though, but I'm with you. That annoys me.
You're religious.
Say, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe they don't mean the same thing, but God, to me, they do. Yeah. You know,
Nick Jonas.
I don't believe in God per se. What, you believe God's called Percy? What? That's an old one, sorry.
Nick Jonas released a single titled Bacon, which is about being okay after a breakup, enjoying the freedom because it's so good, and like anything, the only way it could be better is if you threw some bacon on it.
Oh, for God's sake.
So
you were going to use that as extra ammunition to convince me?
No, I was going to use that as like, you've said no already, so...
Oh, let's just double down.
So
this
is why you're probably right anyway, but right. No, thank you. You think they're worthy of some respect.
No, not anymore, I don't. I wish you'd included those in your main argument.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
That was our first begrudging episode. Yeah. I think that was a great success. I hope you all enjoyed it because I had a lot of fun, I must say.
This week was torturous. I didn't. Honestly, I told you this off air, but to start my research for Nickelback, I actually typed into YouTube Nickelback songs that are actually good. Didn't work. Just a whole bunch of articles and a whole bunch of video essays on why people hate them.
Did you go to page 2 of the Google search?
Yeah, I went to page 2. I know. Yeah. Still didn't work. Can I tell you, I found a study as to why people really dislike Nickelback.
Okay.
Can I explain this to you?
Yeah, go for it.
There was a Finnish study, and I don't mean they finished it. I mean, she was from Finland.
Yep.
This doctor wrote an article why people hate them, and she says it's because they're disingenuous. So when you listen to a Nickelback song, there's a part of you that doesn't truly know what you're listening to. So is this a full-blown ballad, or is it a grunge song? Is this guy a grunge singer singing a ballad, or is he pretending to be a grunge singer pretending to sing a ballad?
Okay.
And then they sing songs about, you know, we're going out tonight. Revealing, I wouldn't go out with you guys. I wouldn't enjoy that time. You look greasy and dirty, and I wouldn't want to sit next to you at a bar. Chad Kroeger, your hair sucks. You're not my friend. So when I'm listening to these songs about all of us just drinking till the break of dawn, I don't believe that. You're not approachable. You're not friendly. Yep. And then there's lyrics like, look at this photograph. Oh, it's just so bad. That's how the song opens, for God's sake. Look at this photograph.
Look at it.
No.
Look at it.
No, I don't want to.
You know, Chad Kroeger to me is like the Nicolas Cage of music.
Interesting theory. Please elaborate on it.
I don't know. It's just I've always sort of just... They look sort of similar sometimes.
Yeah, I can
and just,
see that. Yeah, okay.
I guess they both kind of have a... They're torn. Like they have sort of...
No, that's Natalie Imbruglia.
They have people that like them, but whether that's warranted is often up for debate.
I'm so proud of myself.
That you know what? I think after all that, we should wrap things up.
Nothing's right, I'm torn. I've got that Cake by the Ocean so stuck so deep in my head, it's never leaving.
I think that's right there a great success to me. What do you guys think? Are you convinced this week by our arguments? Do you or will you listen to Nickelback or the Jonas Brothers now?
We don't care if you do or don't.
No, come on, share with us.
Oh, all right, yeah.
What other artists do you love that people seem to hate? Mm-hmm. And did you enjoy this episode, this very special begrudging convince? It was...
Yeah. Is it worth us doing more of these? Is this something that you'd like to hear more of in the future? We'd be very happy to do more.
Because, I had a lot of fun, but I think this episode probably is going to come off as a bit ridiculous. And
sure.
Yeah,
we have a bit of fun every now and then.
Hopefully you enjoyed it, but please...
We are a comedy podcast, after all. That's what we're trying hard to be.
Let us know if you enjoyed it. Let us know if you didn't. We want to know. Either way, let us know on our social media accounts. I'm going to take it this time.
Hang on. What?
I didn't point at you.
I do this. This is what I do. And I mess it up every week.
You're messing it up now.
I refuse to make it easy. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Are You Convinced. Search Are You Convinced on Facebook. The link is www.facebook.com/areyouconvinced.podcast.
Brilliant.
Damon out.
Okay. Can you come back so we can talk about what we're talking about next week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure. What are we talking about next week, James?
See, well,
I always do that and then I throw to you.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So next week, we are talking about the wonderful world of Pokemon.
Oh, not Dr. Zeus?
No.
The wonderful world of Richard Scarry?
No. The wonder... Damon, come on. Pokemon. Get on
Pokemon,
board.
Pokemon.
Get psyched.
We're talking all things Pokemon. This is going to be good.
Because we're leading into the release of the new games, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. We'll get into that. We will delve into that.
James and I have strong, possibly controversial feelings about those two new games.
We'll get into that. But we're also heading into the release of Pokemon the movie, I Choose You, which is commemorating 20 years of the anime.
It looks like my childhood. It's, on screen.
Yeah, it's just... it makes me feel old, honestly.
So old.
But,
so you feel old. I turn 29 tomorrow.
Yeah, happy birthday to Damon. So 29 tomorrow when we're recording this. You will have already been
When this
29.
Is released, I will officially be in my last year of my 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is... I didn't bring that up to be all like, it's my birthday.
No, but just, please jump on our social media and wish Damon a very happy birthday.
Yeah, or don't. And, it's up to you. Just drop us a like and a reply. That's enough. That'll do.
Suggest your topic. We'd love to hear from you. We've had some great feedback lately.
We did. We got some really cool feedback on last week's episode. You guys seem to enjoy the spooky, scary sort of stuff.
Yeah,
which was kind of cool. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. So we love to hear those things, and not only is it great to hear, but it also helps to sort of spread the word when you're interacting with us through social media.
Absolutely.
Sort of gets other people to notice us too. So we really, really appreciate that. Thank you guys so much.
And as we say every week, try and convince your friends, convince your family, convince your pets. Yet to have a pet listener?
Convince Chad Kroger.
Convince Chad... Oh, wow. Imagine that. Imagine. They're very vocal on social media. Like, they've been known for hitting back at critics on social media, on Twitter.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah.
If you can tweet
at Chad Kroger, please, and then
hashtag
tag
Chad,
us.
Are you convinced?
Tag us as well, at Are You Convinced, and yeah, get him on board, please.
Let's get a dialogue going. Absolutely.
Let's start our own hashtag for once.
Yeah. Let's get Canada's
14th Are You Convinced Chad? Hashtag Are You Convinced Chad?
Hashtag Convinced Chad.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
We need to settle on that hashtag before we actually...
Okay, I think hashtag Convinced Chad.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm happy with that.
All
hashtag
right.
Convince Chad.
People do it. Go. Do Are it. You Convinced Army?
Spread it.
hashtag Convince Chad.
All 14 of you. Go. Do it now.
On that note, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and we hope you'll tune in next week.
See you guys.